Hello, I'm Andy Brown, and this week, from Monday the 20th to Sunday the 26th of May, it's Dementia Action Week here in the UK. Its aim is to unite people, workplaces, schools and communities to take action and improve the lives of people living with dementia. So let's find out more about what is happening locally in our area. In the next hour, you'll hear from my guests, who are all involved with different aspects of dementia. And this will be an interesting journey where we'll all learn more about this condition. And also, you'll hear a remarkable story of someone who knows what living with dementia actually means. So let's start off here at St Peter's Hospital, where I met up with Diana Sheridan, and I began by asking her what her role was at the hospital.
I'm a dementia specialist occupational therapist, so my role would be to find out how people are living at home, how any difficulties they're having is impacted by memory problems, if they've got that. Is it affecting their ability to remember to look after themselves, to eat and drink properly, to take the medication when it's needed, but just generally to live their life? And is there any worries that they might have as a result of not managing at home? Is there any worries that their family has? And what can we do to support them to return home, which is where we always hope that we can get people back to?
So let's start by talking about dementia. What is dementia?
The age-old question. Dementia is actually an umbrella term. It covers a range of symptoms that people might have, ranging from short-term memory, remembering new information, for example, to difficulties with communicating, so understanding what's been said to them, as well as being able to express themselves in the way that they want to. It might include other things such as recognising people or objects. And the way that it affects people is different for every single person. Not everyone will respond in the same way. Not everyone progresses at the same rate. And there are probably over 100 different types of dementia. The most common that people will be familiar with are Alzheimer's, vascular dementia. Sometimes you get a mix of the two. There might be others that are related to Parkinson's or to very much, much rarer types, such as Korsakoff's, which can be caused by alcohol in excess, or posterior cortical atrophy. There's a whole range, but essentially it's an umbrella term that describes all of those different types of dementias.
And what are the first signs that people see when they think that they may have dementia?
That will vary according to the type of dementia they're likely to emerge with. So from my experience, I found that people with Alzheimer's, the thing that you might notice first is that they might have difficulty with the right words, finding the right words to describe what they want to say. It might be that they end up with a very lengthy, long, involved conversation, or they might just not have any words to say at all. It might be that they find remembering things in the short term, such as what happened yesterday or the day before, or the last week, or the last year even, but often their long-term memory stays intact. It might be that they forget where they put things. For example, you might park your car in a very familiar place, and I've often done this myself. I have a favourite spot. I know that if I get out of my car, I walk so many steps to where my office is, and I know exactly where to find it when you end up on autopilot at the end of a very long time and day. But the difference is that you might not only forget where you parked your car, what make and colour it is, what the registration number is, and in extreme cases where we have people come in and the first sign that we've had they have dementia is they forget where the car key is. And that's at the extreme end. If they have, if they're more likely to have vascular dementia, then they're more likely to have physical problems first. They're more likely to have issues with balance, falling over, a general slowing down of responding to stimuli they have. So if, for example, you touch something hot, we automatically respond very quickly. But it's a little bit more subtle than that. Sometimes if you ask someone to do something, they're having to process that information, understand what it means, and then respond to it. For someone that's starting to show signs of vascular dementia, that is a much, much more slowed down. And then they start to get the problems with memory, and all the other symptoms that I've mentioned for Alzheimer's.
And is there an age range that people start to get dementia?
It can be anywhere from, I think the youngest person I've come across has been in their early 40s, But if you've watched Dementia Voices, then you will know that there's a gentleman on there that's age 31. I think there has been recording people younger than that even. But it can go anywhere from a very young age all the way up to 90s or older. It's not an age-related thing at all.
So now turning to Ashford and St Peter's Hospital, what facilities do the Trust offer to people living with dementia?
We offer a range of things. So the most important thing is that as a team that we can offer support to people who come in. So if they need particular support with getting used to a ward environment, or we have dementia-friendly bays up on Holly and Swiftwood, for example, where the use of colour, use of a calming environment by minimising sound, particular routine that might help people to orientate themselves a bit better and not feel quite so anxious about being in an unfamiliar environment. That's one example. Another is that we have some activities that are available for them to use themselves. On Holly and Swift in particular, they can use a small lounge area that has a TV in. They can go and eat a meal at a table as opposed to by their bedside. We have twiddle moths. We have volunteers that do come in and sit and talk to them or do some activities with them. And we offer carer support as well, so that if the carers are feeling relaxed and confident and feeling supported, then that transfers, because they're feeling calm, that sense of feeling transfers to the person with dementia as well.
So let me turn now to Layla. Layla Hibbs is with me. And Layla, your role here at St Peter's is?
I'm also a dementia specialist occupational therapist working with Diana in the dementia team.
So why would somebody living with dementia have to be admitted to hospital?
So it could be a range of reasons. It could be a general medical problem. So they've come in, they've had a fall, or they've got a pneumonia. It might be something like might be planned, so they're having planned surgery, or they've had another kind of illness. Other often more complicated reasons why people might come into hospital is because of an overall breakdown of care at home. So perhaps support that they have at home is not quite meeting their needs, because either their dementia has progressed, or they've got what we call a delirium, which is caused by an infection and some kind of illness or something like that.
Right, now let's take a break for some music, and let's hear Layla's choice that the patients like here at St Peter's.
So we are going to have Tom Jones with Delilah. It's something that the wards up on Hollywood, the patients have been listening to over the last week. It's caused a lot of enjoyment and singing on the ward.
I saw the light. Caring for you, Radio Wave.
And we were playing that for our guest here and everybody at St Peter's on this Dementia Action Week special on Radio Wave with me, Andy Brown. Now, Diana mentioned earlier twiddle muffs and twiddle
blankets.
So yeah. What are those, Layla? Let's explain those to the listeners.
So these are basically knitted or crocheted pieces of material that you can either have on your lap or over your hands as like a hand warmer, and they're really, really useful for people who are quite anxious or agitated and perhaps pulling at their lines or their cannulas or tubes, and it can have really help distract people and relieve stress and anxiety for people.
Now, you've got a number of them here in the office, so how are they produced? Where do they come from?
We have got some incredible volunteers, some who work at the hospital, some who work at, who come from different organisations. We've got some organisations in London that do it, WI, local churches, and some individual people as well. They kindly and lovingly knit them for the patients here at St Peter's.
So I can see they're very multicoloured, but also mm-hmm. they've got things attached, like you say, little bits of crochet work, little buttons and things.
Yeah.
How does that help?
So having each one is individual, that all items are securely attached, and they're just things to fiddle with, basically. Often when people come into their office, they will pick one up and they will fiddle one. It's an automatic.
They will twiddle.
It's an automatic thing that we do as people a lot of the time. So they are, every person who gets them, they're theirs to keep.
And also, Diane was mentioned up on the Holly and the Swift ward, you have a community corner. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So in the community corner, it's basically a room which is in one of the bays, but is a bit stepped back from everywhere. It's a quiet place where people can go to. Often people who've got a dementia or who are feeling quite unwell can get quite overstimulated in a noisy hospital environment. So it's an opportunity for people to go, take some time out, sit down, either read the newspaper or watch the TV, listen to some music or do some activities in there as well, either with their families, a staff member, or by themselves as well.
And in the last couple of years or so, the Holly and the Swift ward have been changed in their decor and their layout to help people living with dementia. What's being done there?
So what we've looked at individualising the area so it's more easily identifiable. So above all the beds, we've got different colours and different objects to help individualise each bed space, because every bed looks exactly the same. The toilets, we've got, I think Diana might have mentioned, the use of colour can be quite powerful to help orientate people. So we've got coloured toilet seats, coloured handles and yellow doors to help people identify that this is a toilet and you can see it, because a standard toilet will have a white toilet seat on a white background on a floor that you can't see. And we're going to be moving elements of what we've done in the bays across the whole of the public areas and all the wards over the next 3 years.
And you've seen that as an active result to the patients that are in there.
It can really help people in there, really help them orientate to their environment and help reduce the risk of falls, reduce problems with continence, keep people independent.
And also we realise that the majority of people that are living with dementia need to be cared for. So their carers could be a family member or a relative or a friend. What support do you provide again for the carers?
So for carers here, we've as a team, we offer carer support. We provide the listening ear for people who come in, and we can allow the time to find out exactly what's going on, what is going on at home, what kind of support do they need, are the carers themselves being supported. We've got an amazing carer support worker here called Seema, who we also link in, who can follow people up from hospital as well. And we link in with the dementia navigators within the community, who are also an excellent point of signposting for carers as well.
So if any of our listeners think that they may have early signs of dementia, or they know someone who may be in that situation, what's their first steps?
I would say go and speak to your GP, talk to them about what's going on. There's lots of different things that they do first of all. They often do blood tests. There are lots of different things it can be other than dementia. Also look at your stress levels as well, because a lot of the early signs of dementia are also symptoms of stress as well. It may be that, it may be the early signs of dementia, but it's having that early recognition. And there's so much that you can do if you get an early diagnosis, so many coping strategies you can put in place, so many plans you can make for the future.
Okay, so basically, first point, make an appointment with your GP.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
absolutely
great.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So thanks to Leila Hibbs and Diana Sheridan there, both from St Peter's Hospital, for explaining about dementia and the services that the hospitals offer. Here at Radio Way, the hospital radio service for Ashford and St Peter's Hospital, we also regularly broadcast programmes from our local care homes. And recently I was invited along to the Burlington Care Home in Shepparton to meet more people where dementia is part of their lives. So please listen now to a remarkable lady I met there.
Hello everyone. My name is Sylvia, and it is a privilege to be able to share with you my experiences of dementia and how it is possible to live well with dementia. My first experience with dementia was in 1991, 6 years after my husband Doug and I were married. Doug started having vacant episodes and hallucinating, and found it increasingly difficult to communicate and was no longer able to shave, etc. It was frightening. We hadn't heard of dementia, and we had no idea what was wrong. This was 28 years ago, and there was no specialist dementia unit, as there is now, at the Cedar Unit, Ashford Hospital. The GP referred Doug to a gerontologist who thought it might be CJD or mad cow disease, and there was no help or diagnosis. 5 to 6 years later, when Doug could no longer walk or talk, had difficulty swallowing, also had epilepsy and Parkinson's disease, and was doubly incontinent and couldn't do anything for himself, the GP arranged for us to see a specialist at Charing Cross Hospital, where he was finally diagnosed with corticobasal degeneration of the brain and Lewy body dementia. Sadly, because it was so far advanced, it was too late to start treatment, although I did get a private prescription to try for 3 months, but with no effect. It was physically difficult caring for Doug. He sometimes fell out of bed, and I had to call an ambulance. So I actually got a single bed downstairs in the lounge with safety bars along the side and a baby alarm to wake me upstairs if I heard him. A year later, I needed a hoist to lift him, but because it needs two people and I was on my own, I was told he now needed to be in a care home. I'm so glad I didn't have to make that decision. I visited the Bradbury Centre, a wonderful nursing home next door to our church in Shepperton, and now it's the location of this Burlington care home. After being in hospital, a room became available for Doug, and we moved him in. It was 1988. I asked the matron if I could help with his care, as I loved him and wanted to be with him and continue caring for him. And she was so kind. She said, "My dear, you can come whenever you like, as long as you like," which was wonderful. And I was there daily, except for one day, from 10:30 in the morning till about 9:30 in the evening, for 6 years. I tried to make his room as homely and welcoming as I could. I put pictures on the wall, including Concord, where he had worked, and twirling paper birds on the ceiling above his bed, and a cassette player to play his worship songs. We're both Christians, and the evening Doug moved in, I actually said to him, "Darling, you are God's man here, and he will use you to bless others." Although he couldn't speak or do anything, God did use him. We are Gideons and able to buy boxes of 100 New Testaments. And we had written our stories of how we had become Christians and had them printed. Everyone in the home knew we were Christians, and many times staff and relatives would come for prayer and to talk to us about our faith. And over the 6 years, Doug was able to hold a New Testament, which I put in his hand, containing our stories. And he gave one to over 300 people. I knew this made him so happy, although sometimes I had to try and open his hand. I had made a scrapbook of his life with photos and some of the poems he wrote for people, and some brief copies of some of his sermons. It was great to be able to chat to him and show him. Every day I played some of his worship music, which he loved, and sometimes sang to him and daily prayed with him. I knew he understood, although he couldn't speak. Daily we'd do things that stimulated him, and every Sunday I would go earlier and feed him, etc., so we could put him in his special bed chair on wheels and wheel him next door to our church. everyone loved him, and when he woke up, he gave a little smile, and I know he was happy to be there. Sometimes it was stressful for me, especially feeding him and giving him drinks with special thickener, because if he coughed or choked, it could have gone into his lungs and caused pneumonia. So sometimes I went into the bathroom and had a little cry. I loved him so much. We spent a lot of time outside in the garden, as I had to keep him cool with a cold flannel on his head, because if he was too warm, he could have had a fit. And in his room, he had the window open all year. Daily, after lunch, he would go to bed for a sleep, and that's when I went out quickly to do some shopping or visit the doctor, etc. After nearly 6 years, Doug could no longer swallow. So I knew the end was near and was able to encourage him and prepare him, telling him that Jesus would be coming soon to take him to be with him in heaven, where there was no more pain or suffering, just pure joy to see him and be in God's presence forever. He gave me a little smile, so I knew he understood. I made every day special for him, and as the time drew near, I actually stayed with him for 4 nights, sleeping on a duvet on the floor. At 1:45 in the morning on the 5th of December 2004, I heard him take 2 very deep breaths, and I jumped up and said, "Darling, this is the most wonderful moment. Jesus is here now to take you to heaven." And he gave one more very deep breath, and I said, "Darling, I love you so much, and I'll see you again in heaven." And he passed peacefully into Jesus' presence. Knowing I had been able to prepare him and be with him helped me so much.
Now let's take a break for some music, and let's hear the piece chosen by Sylvia. What have you asked for, Sylvia?
Amazing Grace, please.
You're playing that for our guest here on this Dementia Action Week special on Radio Way with me, Andy Brown. Before the musical break, Sylvia was telling us her story about her husband, Doug. Now here is the next part of Sylvia's life.
Just over 4 years later, I was having problems with my memory and was so shocked when I started hallucinating, losing my balance and sometimes falling. I didn't know my home. I used to get lost, I forgot words, and friends in the church would say, "Hi, Sylvia," and I'd say, "Hi, sorry, I don't know you," although I had been going there for over 25 years. I knew that I now had dementia. The GP sent me to the specialist at the CEDA unit at Ashford Hospital, where following tests, etc., I was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, and 9 years ago I was able to start treatment, which has helped such a lot. Unfortunately, I'm very sensitive to side effects and had to come off the Aricept tablets when the dose was increased. But for over 8 years, I have been on the low dose of rivastigmine patches, and then about 4 years ago also went on the low dose of memantine tablets. I am so grateful that my type of dementia can be treated if started early, as there are many types of dementia for which at present there is no treatment. And now, for me, there is no further treatment. No more drugs are available. I actually also gave my car away 8 years ago, even though I had the okay from the DVLA and the specialist, and he was going to review me yearly. But when I gave elderly folks lifts to church and they naturally chatted to me, then I didn't know where I was going, as I can't do two things at once. It is getting increasingly difficult for me, and I've had the Parkinson's symptoms over the years as well. But I am full of joy in my life, with Jesus at the centre, and I make the most of every day, which is a gift to enjoy. It really is possible to live well with dementia and live a fulfilled, joyful and rewarding life, for which I am so grateful. I really enjoy being outside in God's lovely creation with the birds and flowers and trees and lovely skies. I have a little garden and I love weeding, digging, deadheading, pruning, etc. And if it's not too cold, I have my dinner outside and write letters outside as well. I also have several bird feeders in the back garden and outside my kitchen window in the little front garden as well. And it's a joy to see all the birds feeding and using the bird bath. Sometimes several are splashing away together. 10 years ago, I got half an allotment 1 mile away in the village. And I love being out in the open air and am so happy there. It's like a therapy for my brain, with freedom from lots of input, which makes it difficult for me to think and speak. But just digging, planting, weeding and chatting to my allotment friends is wonderful. And then having the added bonus of even harvesting some crops. I do get in lots of muddles and do things wrong and jerk sometimes and spill things in the kitchen. And I find myself saying, "Oh dear," and then laughing and clearing it up. Or trying to remember how to make a cup of tea without putting the tea bag in the kettle, or going to the cupboard for the milk instead of the fridge. So you can probably guess I'm laughing a lot every day, and I think that really helps. Sometimes I do feel weak, shaky and ill, and I look up and thank God for life and for his presence with me, and I count my blessings. And it lifts me up. I refuse to let things make me depressed. Life is too precious. Sometimes when there is too much input or background noise in my brain, I just have to escape and go outside, which often happens, for example, at the end of the Sunday services, which I love, when everyone is chatting over tea and coffee. Something else which helps me with the dementia is to be organised at home and keep things in the right place. Although I still do lose things a lot, and sometimes they disappear forever. And as I think of something I need to do, I jot it down and keep lots of bits of paper next to the kettle so I can keep reading them. I've also got a big calendar which helps me so much in knowing what day it is and what to do. I write down people's birthdays and meetings and things I need to do and where to go. And I also prepare everything the day before so I don't get stressed on the day. I also plan my dinners in advance and get food out of the freezer, etc. I get in a muddle a lot with the time and write down the time to leave when I'm going out. I have labels on things. For example, on the gas cooker it says, "Turn off gas." And on the front door, "Don't forget key." Twice I went out and thought, "Did I turn the gas off?" So I went back, and once it was still on. Over the years, when I've heard of any vitamins or foods which might help the dementia, I'm very keen to take them. Years ago, the dementia specialist recommended taking vitamin B complex, one tablet daily. I also take Souvenade, which is similar to a yogurt drink, but it's expensive at £3.50 a little bottle and not available on prescription. But that's supposed to help you with dementia. So I started taking it daily for 4 months, 5 or 6 years ago. But since then, I take it every other day. I also take turmeric, coenzyme Q10 and green tea, and use coconut oil when I fry things in the saucepan. I haven't used the oven for 9 years as it was too dangerous for me. All my different medications, including the patches, eye drops, inhaler and tablets, are all in the same place, so I can take them at the right time each day. For me, it's really important to keep active, and I find I can't just sit. I have to be up and down. For example, when the TV adverts are on, I'm up and making a cup of tea in the kitchen. 2 years ago, I could no longer use my bicycle because I couldn't balance. So I've got a tricycle, and although it's heavy and hard work with the potholes and cracks in the road, I am so grateful to have transport. I'm out nearly every day to different meetings and church and visiting folk when they go into nursing homes. I also go to the various Parkinson's groups and Alzheimer's care cafes, etc. I also go swimming at the local swimming pool once or twice a week at 7 o'clock in the morning and do my 18 to 20 lengths. And I also eat very healthily with no rubbish food and lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. I try and keep my brain active, which I think does help a lot. And I do Sudoku once or twice a week. Because I have difficulty thinking of words, I can't manage ordinary crosswords. But sometimes I do a children's crossword if the answers are given. If elderly folks say to me that they're getting memory problems, I encourage them to go to their GP, where they do a mini memory test, which will show it's either part of the ageing process, or they will be referred for further tests. If it is dementia, the earlier it is diagnosed and treated, the better, although for some types of dementia there is still no treatment, sadly. If it is dementia, it is so helpful to link up with the local Alzheimer's care cafe and meet others in the same boat, where we can share and encourage each other and have a laugh. It's so good to know we're not alone, and we have fun and chat over tea and cake and also do activities together. I really look forward to these meetings. I'm so grateful that even with many difficulties, I am still able to care for myself and have so many things to be thankful for. And my faith means everything to me. And I look forward to each new day. I am able to live a fulfilled, joyful and rewarding life and hope to continue as long as possible. So it really is possible to live well with dementia.
Well, Sylvia, what an amazing story. Firstly about your husband Doug, and then about yourself. But in the interview you mentioned the Alzheimer's Care Cafe is somewhere you like to go. Where does that take place?
Well, my local one is in Ashford, in the Baptist Church, behind the little Tesco's. And it's the second Wednesday of every month at 1:30 until about 3 or 3:30, and it's brilliant.
So what happens at the cafe?
Well, we all love and care for each other, and we have lots of laughs, and we encourage each other. especially the new people that are struggling. It's quite difficult for some of them to actually admit that they've got dementia. But we make them feel at home and have a laugh and tea and cakes. And then we have some activities, for instance, musical bingo. And they play a minute or so of old songs, and we have to try and remember them and put the thing down on the bingo card, and that's really fun, and people are singing, and
brilliant.
Yeah, we do lots of really good things.
It sounds a wonderful place.
It is.
Sylvia, thank you for sharing your story here on Radio Way. It's been a privilege meeting you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
A most incredible story, and I really thank Sylvia for sharing and telling her personal story and experiences about Doug, her husband, and her own situation. Very moving.
Radio Way. I'm now joined by one of the team here at the Burlington Care Home, and I'll get them to introduce themselves and say what their role is.
Hi, my name is Hayley Evans, and I'm Head of Lifestyle and Activities here at the Burlington.
So let me ask you, here at the Burlington, what facilities have you got to help those that are living with dementia?
Well, we have a whole nostalgia floor, which is filled with items from various different eras throughout the century. So we have an old-style post office where people can sit and file mail. We also have tables where there is old-style weighing scales, along with Kellogg's cornflakes box from the 1950s.
When the residents see these facilities like the post office and the nostalgia items, what is their reaction?
Well, it makes them feel more comfortable. With people living with dementia, sometimes they can wake up one day and believe that they are still in the 1950s. And for that, it can be very confusing. Imagine walking into a kitchen from the 2000s and seeing an electric kettle. And normally you'd go to put that on a hob because you would have been used a whistling kettle. So it's making the nostalgia floor a place where they can wake up, whether they're feeling they are in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, and still feel comfortable in the atmosphere that they're in.
And are their own rooms set in that decorative style?
Well, all of our rooms are set to a standard style, but what we try to do then is to invite them to decorate their rooms with personal trinkets or photos, and to involve the family in the decorations of their rooms as well. So it makes them feel that it's their room and it's an individual room.
So as your role of Head of Activities and Lifestyle, looking at the activities, when you're planning activities, how do you have to take into account people living with dementia?
Well, we always want to make sure that it's fun and exciting for all of our residents here, especially those living with dementia. We have to obviously take into account safety, but without taking away all risk. So we'll always have carers supporting, and we're always used activities that are thought-provoking for the people living with dementia. So these can be things that they would have done in their past, or activities that provoke a memory.
So, Hayley, in terms of activities, what are the most favourite?
Well, I think it can be a range of things. Most of our residents quite enjoy drawing. This may have been something they did at school, and it's really exciting to get them to also talk about what they're doing. So we're not just sitting and drawing; we're talking to them. What did you do at school? Did you learn to draw at school? If we're looking at puzzles from the seaside, we like to talk about, tell us about your holidays. What does the seaside, what do you remember about that? So, and an all-time favourite is always bingo. Everyone loves bingo. It doesn't matter whether you're five. We had some children yesterday that wanted to play bingo. It doesn't matter if you're five or 95. Everyone loves a good game of bingo. And although it might seem on the surface as just a game, actually when you're living with dementia, looking at the numbers, remembering the numbers and focusing and putting the counters on the particular numbers is actually really, really good for the memories.
And now, just turning to the summer, as the summer's starting to come and the lovely weather, what activities have you got planned for outside of the Burlington?
Well, we've got a few local activities. I mean, we're very blessed to have the River Thames just on the end of our road. So we're going to a little local outing. We're going to take up some coffee and we're going to go and sit and then just enjoy the peacefulness of the river. We also going down to the Walled Garden in Sunbury, which is a beautiful place for bird watching and enjoying the gardens. We're also hoping to go with the Greeno in September to Buckingham Palace for a day trip, which will be lovely. And also in June, we're going to a seaside. I think we're going to go to Worthing for an afternoon of enjoying the beach and maybe a bit of fish and chips as well.
I'm sure the fish and chips will do well on that. Now, one of the other activities that takes place here at the Burlington once a month is Stu's Dance Party from Radio Way. Stu Jones comes down here on a Tuesday afternoon between 2 and 4 and plays music from the 40s and 50s, and that's popular with the residents, is it, Hayley?
Oh, yeah, they absolutely love it. Any time that we have music or entertainment in, they try their best and get up dancing, sit and sing along until their heart's content. So we absolutely love it down here.
Well, let's choose a piece of music for them. What's a popular thing that they would like to hear, you think?
I think the best for a good sing-along is Que Sera Sera, which always goes down well, whatever time we play it. So
that's your choice. That's the one we're going to play.
When I was just a little girl, I ask my mama, supporting your community, Radio Way.
Okay, so there's a lot happening here at the Burlington. If people are interested in getting to know a little bit more, what's the best way in getting in touch?
You can call us at the Burlington. You can email us at the Burlington as well, but the best way is to come in and see us. We are always happy to accommodate. We have teas and cakes available at all times. We have a coffee morning every Wednesday, but if you would just like to pop in and see us, we are more than happy to show you around or have a chat.
Thanks, Hayley, for letting us come down today.
Thank you.
So there we are. In the last 60 minutes, we've learnt many aspects from different people about what living with dementia means to them. And I know that I have learnt things that I personally can do to help others. I hope you too have had a similar experience. It's a very big thank you to Diana Sheridan, Layla Hibbs, Sylvia Foley and Hayley Evans for sharing their experiences here on Radio Way, as well as the hospitality shown at the Burlington Care Home in Shepparton when I visited there. If you want to hear this programme again, it is being repeated several times this week here on the station, and it will also be available on our website so you can listen again. All the details can be found at www.radioway.org, and don't forget Radio Way is spelt W-E-Y, so that's radioway.org. And if you'd like to send some feedback to me, I'd much appreciate it. You can email andy@radioway.org. That's andy@radioway.org. And it just leaves me, Andy Brown, to say thank you for listening and goodbye.